Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, March 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we will focus on the Hudson Valley. And here to help us give a flavor of the region's culinary offerings are Chef Josh Kroner of Terrapin Restaurant at Rhinebeck and Waldy Maloof, the Senior Director of Special Project at the Culinary Institute of America. Also in the studio today, Janet Crawshaw and Marcella Marcillo of Valley Table, with Hudson Valley Restaurant Week running from March 11th through the 24th. Our guests are here to answer your question about the region's unique food. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. A taste of the Hudson Valley on Food Friday after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we hone in on a specific segment of the listening area, the Hudson Valley. In the studio to detail the region's culinary offerings are four guests. Josh Kroner is the chef and owner of Terrapin Restaurant at Rhinebeck, which has won numerous regional awards for its menu. Waldy Maloof is the Senior Director of Special Projects at the Culinary Institute of America. He is also the author of the Hudson River Valley Cookbook. Janet Crawshaw is the co-founder and publisher of Valley Table. The company publishes a quarterly magazine and runs a website focused on the Hudson Valley's food scene. Marcella Marcillo is the organization's Restaurant Week coordinator. Now, Hudson Valley Restaurant Week runs from the 11th to the 24th. It's a long week, yes, I know. Our guests are here to share their expertise on the area's culinary offerings, and our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Marcella, we'll start with you. It says Hudson Valley Restaurant Week. It's 2 weeks. What's up with that?
I say the more the merrier.
It's a long week. It's a long week, but it's a good week. And I know you guys have been here before. Or some of you have been here before, and we've talked about Hudson Valley Restaurant Week last year as well. Let's find out what's new and coming up for this year. Who wants to go first?
I'll shoot.
All right, Janet. Over to you.
Right. So we have got 200 restaurants. We are now in 8 counties. So we're spanning from Athens in Greene County all the way down to Yonkers in Westchester County. Mm. There are 200 restaurants to choose from. The variety of cuisine is everything from Thai and Indian and Japanese to New American and Italian. There's such a great diversity in the Hudson Valley.
I can't believe it. I'm sure there are many more than 200 restaurants in the entire region, but it seems that's a lot, 200, to be just a part of this.
Well, that's why there are 2 weeks. How are you possibly going to make a dent on that list?
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, maybe you call it a Hudson Valley Restaurant 2 weeks.
There you go.
Josh Kroner, you've been on this program before. What's new with you, sir?
Well, I'm always excited when Hudson Valley Restaurant Week comes around in the spring. I mean, winter in the Hudson Valley can be long, can be cold. I mean, we've certainly been hit with some storms.
Yes.
And it means a lot to me because when we get to this point where we're finally kind of coming out of the fog, and 2 weeks is great. I mean, really, it, like you said, the more the merrier, because it's really an opportunity for people to say, okay, let's kind of shake off this winter blues and start going out and visiting the restaurants again. I mean, I absolutely love Restaurant Week. I love to be able to get new customers in, people that haven't been to my restaurant before, and now they see this as an opportunity to try new places throughout the valley. And that's why, you know, people will come up from Westchester to the Mid-Hudson Valley where I am in Rhinebeck. Other people will come from the Mid-Hudson Valley, take trains down. They can just get off the train, go to restaurants like Peter Kelly's restaurant down at in Yonkers at H2O, which is another great destination. But there are so many from end to end for you know, the customers to really explore.
Tell me about the mechanics of this. And I know we discussed this last year. So each restaurant has kind of a specific menu for the restaurant week?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of put together a menu that I feel is very representative of what I do. I don't want to have too limited of a menu either. I don't want to have just like, these are the four things you get. They're good. Enjoy them. I want people to have the same sort of choices that you would have if you were going to dine at my menu regularly, because I want people to see this and think this is a place that I want to come back and eat, which is actually another thing that I've never done before that I'm going to try this year that I'm very excited about, is restaurant week for lunch. So I'm starting to do a lunch menu this year. And actually, I brought the hamburger as a representation.
I got to say, that hamburger looks fantastic.
We'll be getting into that in no time. But, you know, so that's another thing about Restaurant Week. For me, it's changes, you know, and I can try new things and I can have different ways to express myself in these 2 weeks that we have here.
And as a business angle here, did you find that after the Hudson, you know, Valley Restaurant Week, you're picking up new customers? Traffic increases?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely true. I mean, there's no way. I notice a pickup in business for sure. Yeah. I mean, in terms of volume, and since it's less expensive.
No, but I don't mean during the week. I would expect that. But I mean afterwards.
Oh, of course. And that's what I'm saying. It's like I do notice that initial bump, but you have these customers you've never seen before that come in. And there's lots of people. I mean, one of the things that I really pride myself in with my restaurant is I have managers and people in the front of the house that really connect with the people that come into the restaurant. Mm. So there's people like Dijon and Danielle who know everybody that comes in the door, and they know, hey, this person hasn't been here before. And we want to make their experience really as good as we can so that they come back and they become regular customers too.
And it's amazing, Marcella, that 200 restaurants are doing the same thing Josh is doing.
Correct.
It's amazing. It's okay. Don't break the window.
Sorry. I'm so excited.
You're doing very well.
Thank you.
Waldy Maloof, who is a senior director of special projects at the Culinary Institute of America, you wrote a book called The Hudson River Valley Cookbook.
I did.
Has the whole scene sort of evolved?
It has. It's taken its time. The first version of the book came out about 25 years ago when I had a restaurant in Manhattan called the Hudson River Club. Mm-hmm. And we used local products and seasonal products, and sort of before farm to table was really a word.
Yeah.
But but it certainly has begun to come into its own now. The food scene in the Hudson Valley is amazing. I've watched it and been involved in it over the years, and where it is today is just light years from where it was, and it's just a phenomenal change, and more is to come.
But you can't really pin down a specific type of food and say, oh yeah, that's the Hudson Valley, right?
You can pin down products.
Yeah.
You can pin down flavors and tastes, but not. There is no such thing as a Hudson Valley cuisine.
This is what I mean.
I mean, when I went back to when I did research for the book, I went back to the Indians, the Germans, the Italians, the immigrants that came in, and all their influences. But it was really the produce and the products that were being grown and raised here that were used in the cuisine that much. And at the Culinary Institute of America, we do that every day at all of our restaurants. We have 4 restaurants that are participating in Restaurant Week, and we have for many years, I think probably from the beginning, and been a big supporter of it. I've been involved in Restaurant Week very long in New York. I think it was 1992 we started the first one, myself and a couple other restaurateurs in the city. In fact, it was $19.92 for the 3-course meal.
In 1992?
In 1992.
That's amazing.
It stayed that way for a little while, but then we had to juggle it. We had to juggle it a little bit. But so all 4 restaurants at the school are participating. And that's Apple Pie Cafe, that's the American Bounty Restaurant, which is our farm-to-table restaurant, Caterina, which is our Italian restaurant, and Restaurant Bocuse, which is our French restaurant. And they are all doing certain packages, and we offer pretty much in all the restaurants, we offer the entire menu for Restaurant Week, because they're also classrooms.
So right, and this is a great opportunity for the kids, yeah?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for the kids. It's a great boost in the arm for them. I mean, like Josh said, it's kind of a slow season for restaurants in January and February, so it's really nice to sort of start to break out in March, and so the students get to do a lot, and they are able to work with a lot more customers. And a lot of people come to the school that have never been there before, or like scared to come on the campus.
It can be a little intimidating.
It can be, but it's not. It should not be. And it's really part of the Hudson Valley. It's been here since 1972. And I think the school's probably had a major impact on what you've seen happen to the culinary and restaurant scene.
Absolutely.
I would agree, too.
Josh is a graduate? Yes? No.
I have not. Actually, I graduated from the French Culinary Institute.
But we won't hold that against
them.
That's okay, by the way.
But, you know, I would definitely agree with Waldy. The Culinary Institute kind of like is a central point that creates kind of this feeling of just culinary involvement in the Hudson Valley. And, you know, the restaurants that are there are wonderful, and they're really great things for the Hudson Valley because each one of those restaurants, the food is very thought out. And, you know, obviously you have students that are working the restaurant, so it's fun as a chef for me to go and get to see the students serving and, you know, and, like, kind of laugh maybe at their inexperience, but they really try so hard, which kind of makes up for any flaws they might have in service, and certainly the chefs there
make
them. And you hire them, don't you?
Yeah. Right.
So they serve in your restaurant, too.
Of course, right. And culinary students are, you know, employed throughout the Valley as well.
All right, we have to take a break here. You know, Hudson Valley Restaurant Week runs from March 11th to the 24th. We have Josh Kroner, Waldy Maloof, Janet Crawshaw, and Marcella Marcillo here. And, oh, some great food, too. The number is 800-348-2551 if you want to give us a call, and we'll get to the phone shortly. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Food Friday, Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551. Hudson Valley Restaurant Week is March 11th to the 24th. Yeah, it's more than a week. Maybe we'll do Hudson Valley Restaurant Month in the future, right?
Maybe.
It's a good idea.
Hudson Valley Restaurant Year.
That's right.
Don't encourage it.
Josh Kroner is here from Terrapin Restaurant. Waldy Maloof from the CIA. Janet Crawshaw from Valley Table. Marcella Marcillo is here, who is the organization's Restaurant Week coordinator. Janet, you know, you publish this beautiful quarterly magazine. Do you feel that, you know, this magazine helps play a part in building this community that ultimately leads to Restaurant Week?
That certainly was the intention. My husband and I started the magazine 20 years ago to shine the light on the food and the farms that were
here.
Why
did you do that?
Why?
Yeah. Are you just a foodie?
We were
a term that I don't like that much, by the way.
My husband doesn't either.
Yeah.
Conservationists. We were working with farms trying to help them preserve their land, and we found that the best way for them to preserve their land was to be profitable, to stay in farming.
Yeah.
So a light went off, and the light went off in Waldy's restaurant in New York City. My husband and I went down to the city, ate at Beacon during restaurant week with my niece. We came back on the train and had that V8 moment, like, why aren't we doing this in the Hudson Valley? Because it took what we were talking about and writing about in the magazine and brought it to life. So people could come to the restaurants. We would encourage all the restaurants to use local product during restaurant week, serve local wine as we
are here
today.
Oh, you gave me some wine. Oh.
White Cliff Vineyards, Gamay Noir. So the idea was to connect the chefs and the restaurants with the farms and then get the consumers to come out and dine. So that's what the magazine's about, but that's ultimately what Restaurant Week is about.
Well, let's take a call here, and then we'll talk about all this beautiful food and wine we have. Todd's been waiting quite a while. Todd and Hudson, sorry there. You're on.
Good afternoon. How's everyone doing today?
Good.
Great. Janet and chefs, I was wondering if you just could comment a little bit. We've heard some great stats on how the Restaurant Week has grown in both scale and scope and geographic footprint, but maybe some comments about how the region has really blossomed with the farm-to-table movement and the relationships between the farmers and the chefs and the customers, getting some transparent sourcing on where the menu items are coming from and some of the stories behind that.
I could take that.
Go ahead. Josh Kroner for 10.
I've been up in 21 years now in the Hudson Valley, and when I came up here originally, farm to table was not even something that was considered here. But I had just come from the city where it was really starting to take hold. There was the Union Square Green Market, which was really so important. And, you know, I felt like, okay, I'm up in the country. Where are all these farms? And you'd see them all around you, yet there was no real connection. So this was something that happened with me and a lot of other chefs that had some experience with seeing that, where we started trying to use the farms. And as really the demand grew, So did, you know, the connection of farms and chefs. Now, Janet had a big part in kind of pulling together chefs and farmers. I mean, there was several meetings that she pulled together as kind of her role as the editor or the publisher of Valley Table, which were great, which helped because it was really in the beginning, it was a logistical issue.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get this food from the farms to the restaurants? Because, you know, chefs all have the same way of ordering produce. At 11 o'clock at night, when they're done with their shift, they get on the phone, they call the produce company, and that's that. I mean, you know, they don't have enough time to cruise around and go to farms all day long. I mean, so this was a big issue, and really that's been solved. There's been a lot of places. I mean, personally, I'm involved with Patricia Wynn from Farms to Tables. There's Hudson Valley Bounty. There's a bunch of other places that do the same sort of thing that specifically just act as a middle person between the farms and the restaurants and have priced themselves, and the farms have priced themselves to them so that everybody can be profitable and the restaurants don't have to overpay for local produce. And really that's what's caused kind of this explosion, I think, of farm to table, which has been wonderful.
So it's a win-win-win.
It really is. I mean, and there's so many reasons why local is better. I mean, you can talk about supporting your local community, but you're getting a better product. You can see where your product comes from. You can actually go and watch, you know, your food grow or your animals be raised. You know, not to mention the smaller carbon footprint. So, I mean, those are all of the things that make local better.
I mean, we've talked about this many times before on this program. Ultimately, it's a philosophical decision to make and an economic decision. But from a customer standpoint, it's got to be about taste. And to a person, every chef who is involved with this a farm-to-table sort of philosophy says, oh, yeah, the taste is better.
The flavor's way better.
Yeah,
I mean, you're eating food that hasn't been stored for weeks, hasn't traveled from the other coast or another country, and it's in season because it's available seasonally and seasonally only. That was one of the hardest things to do when I started trying to buy local foods. You couldn't go. You couldn't get the farmer to deliver it, or you'd have to go pick it up from the farmer, or the farmer didn't want to sell it at wholesale. He would rather throw it away than sell it at wholesale. And he wanted his retail price, and it was too expensive for
understandably,
you to do it. Yeah. But all those things started to work out as supply and demand for it started happening, and people were looking for it. It's an interesting philosophy, farm to table, because it's the way we always cooked and ate.
Back in the day.
It's not
it's nothing new.
Nothing
right.
new. If you go to Europe, you go to Asia, you go to other countries, or even in farm country, in this country, that's what you do. You go to the market and you buy what's there and what's in season, and then you take it home and cook it, or a restaurant does the same thing. It was only after World War II that the way food was prepared and manufactured and things that it started to change, and then there was a resistance to it, and it went, and people then started saying, "Where is my food coming from?
Yeah.
And how's it made? And how did it get on my plate?" And it really grew out of that.
And ultimately, without the local angle taking precedent again, there is no Hudson River Valley Cookbook.
I mean, no, but the produce was there.
Right.
It just was not being sold correctly. I mean, we're still losing farms every day, but a lot less farms every day than we were. And there's a whole another food movement happening. They become more specialized. There's cheese makers, there's distilleries, there's brewers, there's more wineries. But you also now you're seeing farms actually selling wholesale through like Patricia Wynn's Farm to Table, which is a excellent model that has helped a lot of chefs get involved with that.
And the economic model is evolving as well. And how has that changed, Josh, since you started with Terrapin? I mean, is it more profitable all the way along the line?
You know, I look at my food costs, and that's something that, you know, every restaurant's going to look at a food cost. Like, what percentage of your sales does your food cost. And maybe you have a place like McDonald's that's 20%, and that's what they operate at. I operate at 35% because I'm using a lot of more expensive ingredients. But at the same time, I'm counting on the fact that my customers understand that I'm using better ingredients, and they understand and appreciate that what they're getting at Terrapin are natural products or local products, and they might be willing to spend a little bit more, but I can also enjoy a higher volume of traffic, which makes up for the fact that my margins are slimmer.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday, and we're celebrating Hudson Valley Restaurant Week, which begins, I believe that's Monday, the 11th, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it goes until the 24th of this month. Josh Kroner is here from Terrapin Restaurant. Janet Crawshaw, who is the co-founder and publisher of Valley Table. Marcella Marcillo is the organization's Restaurant Week coordinator. And Waldy Maloof is the senior director of special projects at the Culinary Institute of America, also the author of the Hudson River Valley Cookbook. All right, before we get to any more calls, the table here is full of beautiful food. Let's talk about that and describe that. Who wants to go first?
Waldy, go ahead.
I'll go first. I brought some various things from all. We have four restaurants involved, so we have different things from the different restaurants. At American Bounty, we're actually doing a braised pork taco.
Nice.
That I brought some sample of. At the restaurant Bocuse, I have a smoked cauliflower soup garnished with cauliflower, bacon, and dehydrated cauliflower crumbs, we'll call them.
Wow.
And
so
and
like croutons, it, made
like,
of like cauliflower.
Croutons,
wow,
but made out
amazing.
Of cauliflower. There's a little bread in it also, but mostly cauliflower.
Yeah.
And some miniature pastries that we're actually also this month honoring female chefs and female pastry chefs. And our pastry chef instructor at Apple Pie Cafe is a wonderful woman, and she's put together a series of chocolates and miniature desserts for this month that honor different pastry chefs from around the world, and they'll be part of a package that we're also putting together for Restaurant Week.
That's beautiful work there. Those sweets look delicious.
The school has an amazing
feel free to eat while we're talking here, by the way. I'll do the talking.
Okay.
You guys do the eating. And go ahead.
We're not good at eating. We're good at making food for other people to eat. Yeah.
Well, you got
to
eat sometime. By the way, Janet, you brought some wine, and this is local wine as well.
This is local wine from White Cliff Vineyards in Gardner outside of New Paltz. It's a Gamay Noir, which is, these chefs are going to tell you more about it than I can tell you. I like the taste of it. It's a French grape grown here in the Hudson Valley.
Ah.
I think they're the only ones growing it. It's the same grape that's in Bordeaux, right? Isn't it? Or Burgundy? Or what is it?
Burgundy.
Now, that's very interesting. Of course, the same grape in Burgundy, the terroir here, it will be much different. So what kind of a different taste are we going to expect here?
It will be lighter.
Why?
It's not Pinot Noir, which is the main grape in Burgundy, but in, to the south of there, where they have I forget the name of them, a lighter red that's grown south of Burgundy is made with this grape. This is the first time I tasted it. This time, it's a very interesting wine and a very nice wine, but you're seeing a lot more beautiful wines coming out of the valley. And this is one of them. We have it on the list, actually, at
right.
American Bounty.
Winemaking has come a long way. Just like everything else in the Hudson Valley, the beer, wine has really been elevated.
I was going to say, now, I'm not really a wine aficionado in any way, but this has a mature sort of a taste to it.
These winemakers know what they've been at it for a while. These guys have been at it. They're celebrating 20 years this year. They know what they're doing. And this wine, it's Beaujolais, by the way, is what we were trying to
think
of.
Thank you.
Yeah. But it's really a lovely, it's a very food friendly. And I guess the reason why we wanted to bring it along is because we wanted, wine should be enjoyed with food.
Yeah. Or by itself.
Or by itself. Go for it.
Yeah. No, this is great. Marcella Marcillo, who is involved with the coordination of this event, While I take a bite here, tell me about some of the restaurants involved and sort of the geographic region for Restaurant Week.
Well, as Janet mentioned, we stretch as far south as Yonkers and as far north as Athens. So we're down from Westchester to Greene County. We also reach down into Rockland County, Orange County, Dutchess County, pretty much everywhere in between. And it's just a great celebration of the chefs throughout the Hudson Valley and who have brought their own cuisine to the table here.
How many hours a day are you working on this?
It feels like it never ends.
Well, you're fairly young. You'll survive this.
You'll survive.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, this pasta dish is fantastic. Tell me about this one.
Okay, so what I brought was a puttanesca. And so I brought a couple things that are on my lunch menu. This is actually also on the dinner menu, the Hudson Valley Restaurant Week dinner menu. This is also a vegetarian dish. Now, I just started doing this dish. I actually just got married this summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And me and my wife got to have an amazing honeymoon slash marriage in Italy. And we traveled through Italy for 2 weeks. And puttanesca was something that we had so many times, and we just loved it so much. I'm like, I have to do it first.
You have to steal it.
Yeah, I had to. So yeah. There are capers and a little bit of spice and olives. I use Moroccan cured olives. I like the kind of the flavor with that. And, you know, I keep it vegetarian. There are no anchovies, which is traditional for this dish. But, you know, it's I feel like a good comfort food to have in the winter.
Yes, it's rich, and it's not overpowering, and it does go very well with the wine. I will admit that.
That's exactly what I said. And this Gamay is terrific. It's got a little bit of acidity to it and just kind of like is perfect for this type of pasta.
Well, let's take a call or two here. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. Hudson Valley Restaurant Week is coming up starting Monday. Josh Kroner, Waldy Maloof, Janet Crawshaw, and Marcella Marcillo here. And let's go to Nick in Great Barrington. Nick.
Hello there.
Hi.
I have a question, and I'm going to hang up after I ask it.
Okay.
I would like to know what the barbecue scene is in Hudson Valley.
The barbecue
restaurant.
All right, the barbecue scene in the Hudson Valley. Okay. Who wants
to
take that?
And the reason I'm trying to put on a beer tour. Our beer club over here in the Berkshires. I take care of the tours and such, and we're doing a great, probably a Capital District beer tour, and I'd like a lot of them like barbecue, so. I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, that does go well.
And thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Nick. All right, barbecue in the Hudson Valley.
Well, there's some great barbecue in the Hudson Valley. There are a few barbecue restaurants actually participating in Restaurant Week. You know, I don't necessarily associate barbecue with Hudson Valley. I always think of it as South, obviously. But you'll find in the Hudson Valley, there's such a variety of cuisine that absolutely there's barbecue. Who's got a favorite place?
I mean, there is a place in Rhinebeck, Smoky Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had my wedding party catered by the Hickory Pit out on Route 28
sure.
in Kingston. So there are definitely decent barbecue places.
Farther south, there's Brothers
Barbecue.
I like
the Hickory Pit.
They
do a good job there.
There's Brothers Barbecue. I know that they're a part of Restaurant Week. And I don't know. You're also going to find barbecue on menus because I know we were just talking about this dish that Josh has on his menu, which is a barbecued duck quesadilla, which he cannot take off of his menu.
I think you brought – did you bring that one time?
I did.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's definitely true is that there are so many different types of cooking that I use and I do, and barbecue is certainly right in my wheelhouse. I mean, so many people like to barbecue outside. And, you know, I bring that into the kitchen. But as far as, like, finding barbecued places, there's plenty of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
What other ones are you doing Hudson Valley Restaurant Week?
Off the top of my head, all I can say is on the website, you can actually sort.
Oh, what is the website?
Oh, that would be helpful,
yeah.
Right? HudsonValleyRestaurantWeek.com. And you can sort the restaurants by cuisine. So check out and see how many are in barbecue. You can sort it by location.
What's the best Italian?
The best Italian. Uh-oh. How?
All right.
You can't answer.
No, you can't answer that question.
We're not allowed to do.
Do you have to keep going? You have to keep going south down the Hudson Valley to get the real authentic stuff.
No, there's Italian restaurants.
Caterina de' Medici at the CIA is awesome.
Caterina de' Medici is actually one of the best Italian restaurants I know of up here.
Well,
I'm sure your superiors give that one a
thumbs up for that one.
I want to mention something to Nick if he's listening. The CIA, we also have a brewery on campus, a full-fledged seven-barrel brewery. And we brew our own beer, and the beer's available at all the restaurants on
good
campus.
Too.
And it is good. Yeah. It is, actually. John's probably brought
John
you
some. Fisher? Oh, yeah. He's mentioned this a few times.
I'm sure he probably has. But in the fall, we do an event called Brew You, and we at the brewery, and we do a whole big barbecue thing outside. It's the first Saturday in October, and so you should put that on your list.
All right, there you go. Well, I got to say, Waldy, the braised pork is outstanding, man.
Good.
Really good.
Yeah, it's a nice – it's actually local pork.
Yeah.
We work with a farmer, speaking of the brewery, that picks up all our spent grain from the – so it's like full circle.
Oh, yes.
So
I've heard of this.
We buy the pigs from him, and I'm sure they eat other things too.
Yeah.
But so it's a nice little thing that we do with a farmer out in Sanfordville.
All right, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll get back to the phones. We'll have some more food. I got to have one of the shoes. Those are pretzels, huh? All right. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back. Vox Pop, Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. It's Hudson Valley Restaurant Week preview show here. The Restaurant Week begins on Monday. Josh Kroner is here from Terrapin Restaurant. Waldy Maloof from CIA. Janet Crawshaw of Valley Table. And Marcella Marcillo is here, who is the organization's Restaurant Week coordinator. Well, we're having a good time. The footballs are amazing.
At least they're not shoes anymore.
Well, originally, I thought they looked like shoes, but they do look like footballs. Waldy, what are these things?
They're pretzel rolls.
Oh, they're beautiful.
It's a soft pretzel bread. We serve them in the tavern in American Bounty, which is participating in Restaurant Week. And we also serve them with a flight of four of our beers that we make at the school.
And so it's just a soft pretzel, beautiful.
With pub cheese. It's a mixture of two different cheeses and a little pimento and some spice in there.
Yeah, I love this.
Okay.
I could have a few of these.
Okay,
and a few beers as well. I won't do either of those things during the show, though. And then also wanted to talk about the soup, which I have not tried because I don't know if we have any spoons. I'll try it with a knife. Go ahead. Tell me about the soup.
It's a smoked cauliflower soup that we serve serving at our French restaurant, Bocuse, named after Paul Bocuse, great chef, and it's the cauliflower is smoked, and then we make a sort of croutons with cauliflower, and we garnish it with a little bacon.
And it has almost a split pea soup sort of vibe.
Feel like it.
Yeah,
yes.
It's nice. Yeah. It's really nice, as a matter of fact.
It's the lardons. It's the bacon.
The lardons?
Lardons.
Yes. Okay, I'm glad you said it that way. Let's go to back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Bob in New Windsor. Bob, you're on.
Yeah. One thing I find missing from the restaurants in this area would be game meats. Why is that? Duck, quail, deer, moose, elk. I find it elsewhere in the country, but come back here and it's usually the chicken, pork, pasta, fish.
You haven't been to the Culinary Institute of America lately.
Yeah, I have. Yes. I've got game meats on my menu too. I mean, you're not allowed to serve meat that was caught wildly, but we have deer that was raised in a nearby farm. There's certainly duck.
There's Millbrook venison.
Yeah.
That we use. There's duck, certainly, from the area. We have quail on the menu. We have venison on the menu. We did a game dinner in November that was actually really successful and sold out very quickly.
So I guess you just have to look, but you can find it.
It's there.
It's also seasonal because you're going to find the venison on menus. North Plank Road Tavern right there in Newburgh near you has a great venison dish, usually in season. Of course, there's duck. Frequently, there's duck.
Duck is year-round. Venison, excuse me, can be pretty much year-round as well. But the other, like game birds, the
quail
squab and quail, they're a little more seasonal.
The other thing, I mean, here's a hint from us anyway. If you're shopping through the Restaurant Week offerings, a lot of the menus are online. So you can look on HudsonValleyRestaurantWeek.com, go to, you know, the list of restaurants, and a lot of them have posted their menus. So it
That's
takes
a great
little
idea.
Time, but look and see that you'll find hopefully some venison on the menu.
You know, I think we have that link on our Vox Pop Food Friday page as well. So if you are at the WAMC website, I think you can find the link to the Hudson Valley Restaurant Week. But once again, the URL is?
HudsonValleyRestaurantWeek.com.
It's very easy.
Very easy.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Janet Croshaw is here, Marcello Marcella, Waldy Maloof, and Josh Kroner. And now is it hot in here?
A little warm,
a little bit.
What
it's the wine.
Yep.
I've only had one sip. It can't possibly be. Maria in Brooklyn, you're on.
Hi. So I'm Maria Rizzi.
Yes.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi.
And I'm here with...
My name is Tim Vieira.
So we're educators in the city.
Okay.
I promote Hudson Valley Restaurant Week as often as possible. I've been to Terrapin many times. It is exquisite, both a delicious and spiritual experience. How do I get my staff or the staff at Midwood High School to come up and visit you? I'm going to have to charter a bus. That's going to be soon.
You better tell Josh before you do that.
Yeah.
But I would love for them to explore more of the Hudson Valley. I brought family and friends. What are you doing to promote and help to bring the people up there, as opposed to, you know, everybody thinks Manhattan's where it's at. Food-wise, it's the Hudson Valley.
Thank you.
Well said.
So good call.
How do I get people up there? What are you guys going to do to encourage, promote, really sell it?
I love it. And, you know, New York is a big city. Brooklyn's a big city, so it's hard for us to get the message out, so we really appreciate your doing it.
Yeah.
But I will say we do partner with Metro North and encourage people. We list all 120 of the restaurants are within walking distance of the train station.
Oh,
so you can go to the website and see which restaurants are within walking distance. We come on radio programs like this then when we're welcomed and invited.
Well, you've done very well. Keep bringing food like this and you'll be welcome.
Whatever we can do,
sure.
If you know how we can get the word out better, let us know.
This Culinary Institute of America promotes the school and the campus in the city as much as possible, but we appreciate anyone getting the word out. And if you'd want to bring your students to the campus, we do bring students to the campus from high schools all over the
brilliant
country.
Brilliant idea, yeah.
And that's something you might do and have their parents get involved, and maybe that's a way that you could do something there.
Well, it's always nice to hear from Brooklyn, right?
Absolutely.
We love Brooklyn.
We do love Brooklyn. Our number here is 800-348-2551, even if you're not in Brooklyn. David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Yes. Thanks for doing a good show there, Ray.
Thank you.
One thing I wanted to give the chefs there a resource, that the organic farmers market in New York City is the best contact that they could make, because that's where all the organic growers from the Hudson Valley go to sell their produce. And not only that, I've had a neighbor here who grows 200 different varieties of potatoes from all over the world, because people from the United Nations go to him and give them seeds to grow and stuff like that. One thing that really stands out in my mind, he grew a potato that looked like a ball of gold. And if you cut it in half, it was bright purple on the inside. And the taste was like cashew nuts.
Huh.
And it was from Japan. And it was only for a royalty to eat in Japan. And he's growing it for some diplomats at the UN. So I think that's the best resource for you guys to go to.
David, that's incredible. It looks like a ball of gold. It's purple inside and tastes like what?
Cashew nuts.
Yeah. Were you hitting the absinthe before this program by any chance? That's amazing.
I've had fruits and vegetables from him that I've never seen in my life. They've come from all over the world.
That is very
He had a radish that was the size of a beet that was totally black on the outside and pure white on the inside, and it was just delicious.
What do you think, Waldy?
It sounds pretty amazing. Does he sell these?
Yeah, at the farmer's market in Manhattan and Brooklyn.
The organic farmer's market.
You know, definitely, there's such an expansion of what we have available now. I mean, I think about when I was a kid in the 70s, and you would have, like, iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
Hard tomatoes and bananas. You know,
That was the produce section.
You know, and now, even in, you know, your supermarkets, there's so many different types of products, and I'm sure this organic farmers market's wonderful. It sounds like sounds like
the Willy Wonka of organic farming.
I mean,
over there.
You know, people expect as a chef I should know everything, but I'm constantly finding that I don't know nearly as much as I could.
The United Nations, they're bringing seeds from all over the world for people to grow here because they're working here. They want their food. So anyway,
hey David,
I thought I'd give you a resource.
Appreciate your call.
It's Food Friday, 800-348-2551 is the number. We have Marcella Marcillo here, Janet Croshaw, Waldy Maloof, Josh Kroner. Josh, you know, I like burgers, okay? I like burgers a lot. One of these days we're going to do a show just about burgers, and you will be invited, sir. This burger is amazing. It's perfectly done. Just look at this. You just got the pink in there. That is a beautiful,
Thank you very much. Well, you know, it's interesting. I started out in this little restaurant that was only dinner, and I only fine dining. And I did a lot of the dishes that I still do today. But when I moved to Rhinebeck, I had this opportunity where I had a bistro now, and I could start to do comfort food, which is food that I loved. And burgers, I've always been passionate about burgers. And, like, to have the opportunity to make a burger just the way I'd want to eat
it. Oh, my God, it's great.
Has been really great for me. And so I use, you know, a local meat from the Hudson Valley Cattle Company, you know, getting the bread, which I bring up from Eli's in Manhattan. And, you know, you find, like, just a perfect combination of ingredients, because that's what, you know, basically all food is. You get the right ingredients and you put them together and it's good. And I feel like, you know, with a burger, that's kind of the essence, is good meat, good bread, you know, all of the toppings.
This one's topped with bacon.
Bacon's good, you know?
It's just a perfect
And we had
burger.
Some bacon on Waldy's soup that definitely gave it that kick. Really delicious.
You know, I'm not embarrassed to say it, but I think a burger should not be looked down upon by any chef in any way. Given my choice, 50-50, half the time I'll take a New York strip, half the time I'll say, you know what, I would rather have a burger, and a beautifully done burger like that. We'll do a show. I'll keep you in mind.
Okay, right.
Knowing chefs, I don't know one chef that looks down on a burger.
I mean, if it's a good...
Chefs love burgers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Emily and Gardner, hello.
Hello, how are you all?
Oh, good.
Great. I'm wondering if you gentlemen have ever heard, all of you have ever heard of the Barnstormer. It's a barbecue place right in Highland Falls, right by West Point. And their burgers and their ribs and their homemade mac and cheese is just melt in your mouth. Unbelievable.
Anybody?
No, but it sounds sounds like another, hopefully Dave, was that his name, is still listening, because that sounds like another good resource
for the beer tour. Yeah, well, thanks, Emily.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope everybody goes and enjoys. It's really wonderful.
Really appreciate it. Now,
road trip.
Exactly. Now, this brings us to a point. Now, obviously, this restaurant that Emily mentioned, not involved with Hudson Valley Restaurant Week. Who does the outreach? Do the restaurants come to you, or do you go to them, Marcella?
A lot of restaurants do come to me, but it takes a little phone call, a reminder, and an email just to say, hey, we're doing Restaurant Week. We'd love to have you join this wonderful list of participating restaurants. Here's the information. You make a killer menu the way Terrapin and all the CIA restaurants make, and you enjoy the incredible turnout that people bring their families, people return, people go there for the first time. It's really, that's really the draw.
Do you have a max number of restaurants?
There's no max.
So in other words, it would be tough. If I owned a restaurant, it would be tough for you to say, no, you can't be part of this.
Very tough.
Really?
No, we welcome everybody.
And there's really something for everybody.
What if the restaurant's lousy?
Well, you know what? We let the market decide, and so everyone is included. We've got a board of advisors who are all restaurateurs and chefs, everything from, you know, really haute cuisine to more casual. And the idea is, Waldy just mentioned road trip. That's what Restaurant Week is about. Get out on the road, explore this beautiful valley, and have some great food. You can find a barbecue joint, and you can dine at the CIA, and everything in between.
And I love the idea about taking Metro North or the train in general. Mm-hmm. Then you have a couple of cocktails.
Absolutely.
You're not worried about it, right?
And now we've got Zipcar, too, from the train.
Yeah.
So if you want to
go like a zip line? What is a Zipcar?
You can rent a little car at the train. Mm-hmm. So if your restaurant is not in walking distance, you can zip over.
All right. In that case, don't have a couple of cocktails.
No, don't have. All right. That's true.
Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Renee in Campbell Hall. Renee.
Hi. Perhaps I have a politically incorrect question.
Splendid.
We're relocated from Manhattan. We're a little bit homebound, so we can't really go further than Orange County. Like 40 minutes possibly, looking for really classy, and that's what I'm saying, so that might not be politically correct.
Right.
Great food, but along with the food, you also need the table service. You need a professional waiter to come and treat you like a professional, not like here's your food kind of a deal.
Now, I don't know.
Recommendations
I don't
that?
Know if they, you should recommend. Well, I guess you could recommend as long as you a few.
You're going to stay in Orange County because you want to keep that 40-mile radius, although even depending on where you are, you could even dip into northern Rockland. I would recommend any of the restaurants on the list from Orange County, sort of that finer dining experience is going to be at Liberty Street Bistro in the city of Newburgh, who's done an amazing job across from Washington's headquarters. Amazing cuisine and
amazing
great service. And then there's, not fine cuisine, but totally rooted in the history and culture of our area is the Jolly Onion, which is in the middle of the Black Dirt area.
Which has
of
one of the
Orange
greatest
County.
Names.
They just reopened.
It's totally worth a drive to go there.
Well, Renee, we'll have to leave it there. We are about out of time. Once again, Marcella, tell us where we can find out about Hudson Valley Restaurant Week.
You can find all the information at www.hudsonvalleyrestaurantweek.com.
Well, that's very good, and I hope you get a night's sleep in the next few weeks. This was great, and thank you to Josh for bringing the food and Waldy for bringing the food and thank you for bringing the wine, Janet. This was a lot of fun. We had a good time. We didn't even get the dessert. I'm sorry about that.
I guess we'll have to leave it for you. Isn't it beautiful?
Well, you know what? We'll go to news. We'll have some dessert.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Support comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar and bakery, rivervalley.coop. Vintage 20 Wine and Spirits, Duanesburg, offering an array of libations, wine, and spirits, open 7 days a week, providing home delivery services. Vintage20wine.com. 20 Railroad Public House, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, seasonally inspired pub fare, now offering traditional wood-fired Neapolitan pizza, catering menu, and hours. 20railroad.com. And Paul Smith's College, where winter sports athletes compete on the same landscape that's a training ground for Olympic athletes. Paul Smith's College, it's about the experience, paulsmiths.edu. Thanks again to our guests today, Waldy Maloof, Josh Kroner, Janet Crawshaw, and Marcella Marcillo. And thank you for listening. It was a lot of fun today. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks for being with us all week on Vox Pop. We'll be back on Monday. Alan will be in the big chair for a medical Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and stand by for news.